how confident is President Trump that any evidence will arise to support his claim?
I think he's extremely confident. We'll let the House and Senate, and I'll let the DOJ report this. I think there's significant reporting about surveillance techniques that have existed throughout the 2016 election.
You're listening to your Healthy Radio Addiction, The Laura Ingraham Show, 855-40-LAURA. Joining us now, and I'm so used to calling him Senator Sessions. I think this is the first time I've had the chance to call him Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who joins us now to discuss the latest on these investigations, the leaks, now taxes. I'm going to tell you this right now, General Sessions, that I pay too much in taxes. Okay, so I'm going to reveal that right now. I probably pay way more than I should pay in taxes. And so I hope that gets out there in the general public. How are you? Nice to talk to you.
Well, thank you for contributing to your country.
Yeah, to
keep
all those
making that big bucks and keep sending your share to the Treasury.
Oh,
maybe
my goodness.
We get a pay raise around here.
Exactly. Attorney General Sessions, let's talk about first this story that just will not go away. The Congress was charged by the president to look into this issue of the the surveillance, the wiretapping of the campaign headquarters and the transition office and Trump Tower. Where are we now with that? Because I don't think any new evidence has been turned over to the House or to the Senate.
Laura, I was involved in the campaign, and I was an active part of the campaign. Under the Code of Federal Regulations, a prosecutor, Department of Justice employee, cannot participate in an investigation of a campaign that he had a significant role in. So I recused myself, not because I did anything wrong or know of anything wrong, but simply because the rule says if you are part of the campaign, you can't investigate the campaign. So I've turned that over to the career Deputy Attorney General, Dana Bente, who is a great, great guy, 30 years in the Department of Justice, and they will handle this. And if any statements need to be made, it would come from him. So I think that's the right thing for me to do. I'm confident the law was clear on that. And I've met with ethics people, and that's why I announced my recusal.
Got it. I didn't think you had to recuse yourself, by the way. But
yeah,
what do I know
I
about the law?
Any question about it?
What do I know about the law? But I didn't think you had to recuse yourself. I'm
with
Trump on that.
You know a lot. You're a great lawyer, and
I think it's blood in the water. When you drop a little blood in the water, the left wants to circle and then they go to Jeff Sessions has to resign. So, but that's neither here nor there. You're certainly not recused from what I think the president wants, which is a serious investigation into the ongoing leaks within our intelligence agencies or intelligence agencies contractors that continue to take place. And now we have leaks of information out of the IRS. Maybe it could be a preparer of taxes, I guess, all these years later, given the news last night about Donald Trump's 2005 tax returns. How do you go about this investigation into this leaking that is clearly putting people on edge and could be putting national security at risk?
This has got to be looked at. It's got to be looked at fairly and objectively. There are clearly too many leaks, most of the kind you see. The most dramatic ones are violations of federal law. You cannot reveal classified information, and you can't reveal grand jury information. So there are a lot of things that are clearly criminal if they are leaked. And in addition to that, I believe all of us in the Department of Justice, all of us in the federal government need to maintain personal discipline. And they're just, you shouldn't even confirm the existence of an investigation because that is a problem. So we all in the Department of Justice need to go back and study the classical principles of security that I learned in my 15 years in the Department of Justice, a number of years ago. And I think it's just got to be done, and I intend to do my part in that.
There's a piece out in the Richmond Times-Dispatch that you're going to be visiting Richmond, today, right? You'll be in Richmond today talking
about I'm here today.
Fighting crime and so forth. But certain law enforcement officials not invited to the, you know, to the event. So what's the reason for that?
I have no idea. I did not approve any. That's the first time I've heard that. I generally believe that we have all law enforcement officials, and that have a.
Well, the Secretary of Public Safety was a Democrat. You know, Brian Moran is McAuliffe's Secretary of Public Safety and Homeland Security, and Attorney General Mark Herring. Both of them are Democrats, which leads Democrats to say that, you know, we like that Jeff Sessions is in Richmond, but this is looking like a partisan event with it, with these two top Democrats not invited.
Well, I would just say this. I think the people who set up the meeting were focused on the sheriffs in the region, the chiefs of police in the region, and, of course, as a federal official, we invited the FBI, the DEA, the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and the Marshal Service. And so that was the gist of how this was set up. I guess state officials may not have been invited. I don't know.
The holdovers from the Obama administration is something I've been writing about and talking about since, late December, because we understood that there have been problems in various departments. We got a lot of people who were not replaced early on, and we're concerned, a lot of us are concerned, Sean Hannity, myself, and others, that people burrowed into the bureaucracy will be working against the interests of this administration and its agenda. What can you tell us about your efforts to ensure that holdovers from the Obama administration are not undermining the Trump-Sessions agenda on crime fighting and so forth?
The president of the United States is elected to be the chief executive, and the governmental executive branch responds and must respond to his leadership. And people need to accept the fact that there'll be different priorities and emphases with a new president. And if you're going to be a career employee in the federal government, you serve that president. You served President Obama, you served President Trump. And so that's the high duty and principle. Now, you know, all the cabinet people, as they almost always have done, they submit resignations immediately, and they leave, and the new administration puts acting people in until they get their members finally confirmed. So that's part of the process, too. United States attorneys who are part of the Department of Justice are presidentially appointed and confirmed by the Senate. They serve at the pleasure of the president, and new presidents appoint new United States attorneys. And so about half, a little more than half, had already resigned when I sent out a notice and asked for the resignations of the others. And so we'll have career professional United States assistant United States attorneys become acting U.S. attorneys pending the confirmation of the new presidentially appointed and Senate confirmed U.S. attorneys. That's the way the system works, and that's the way.
Why did it take so long?
Bill Clinton fired me.
I know you got fired. I remember that.
Yeah, that's just the way it works.
Yeah, it's the way it works. Hey, why did you guys take so long? That was my only question. That was the only concern I had. Why did it take like 45 days to tell these people to turn in the resignation letter? I would have done it day one.
Well, you could certainly do that. And as I said, most top cabinet people and their top deputies resigned immediately as part of the tradition. But U.S. attorneys, a lot of them have held mm-hmm. on, and we felt it was time to move forward. I've got some new ideas about crime and policies that we want to execute. And we thought it was time to get the process moving and begin to advance the Trump approach to law enforcement and creating the rule of law.
Attorney General Sessions, the ongoing consent decrees that are in place across the United States involving a number of police departments, Cleveland, I believe Oakland, and many of them, of course, were undertaken and put in place during the Obama administration. Have you begun the process of reviewing those, and will you make changes to any of those that are currently in effect after your review?
We are looking at that. There are a number of principles that I believe in. First and foremost, we need to make absolutely sure, Laura, that any consent decree does not increase crime, that does not reduce public safety, does not make it more dangerous to walk the streets. And we have had some instances where the restraints that curtail community-based policing and the broken windows concepts that have proven to work so well, some of that has been retreated from. In addition, some of the decrees have hurt the morale of the police officers. They're not as aggressive as they used to be to actually confront crime on the streets. We've seen in Chicago, for example, after a lawsuit involving the ACLU that Chicago eventually settled, we've had a dramatic drop-off in the number of arrests and stops on the streets, while the murder rate in Chicago is going through the roof. So first and foremost, police departments have to be disciplined. Police officers have to be disciplined. They have to respect the citizens of their communities, and most of them do overwhelmingly. And we've got to be careful that a few bad apples don't cause us to pull away from proven crime-fighting techniques that save lives by the hundreds.
And you have the authority, do you not, to pull out of some of these consent decrees?
Well, consent decrees, as you know, Laura, are
managed by the courts.
Court orders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The cases were initially brought by the Justice Department of the Obama administration, correct?
That's correct. And some of them probably do need to be reviewed, and we need to study them. But often the cities, the mayors in some of these cities, and all like these decrees, and they don't want to come out. They don't want to change them, maybe. So we'll have to see. Each one will be different. Mm-hmm. But I do take very seriously my responsibility to try to make sure that any action that involves a police department that has had some difficulties, and we may have to take some lawsuits against departments who are not meeting their constitutional duties. But if we do so, mm-hmm. any agreement, any settlement, any court order that gets entered into should be done in a way that does not make it harder for them to do their jobs. That's fundamental. And finally, state and local police departments are free to run their business, and it should not be micromanaged by the federal government as a general philosophy anyway.
Attorney General Sessions, on the issue of marijuana use, the Obama administration decided that it was not going to go after recreational marijuana use. Obviously, legalization efforts across the country are being pushed by a lot of big business interests. I call them big pot. In Colorado, a lot of people like the tax money they're getting, but we have all sorts of other terrible effects of increased marijuana use among young people. Will this department begin prosecuting the sale and use of marijuana?
I do not believe that this country is going to be better off if we have marijuana sold at every corner grocery store, and that it's available in large amounts to even teenagers. No matter what the law is, once you make it quasi-legal or basically legal, then it filters easily into the young people's hands, where it does the most psychological damage, according to the New England Journal of Medicine and other studies of this. So I think this is American Medical Association is the one that did, I think, the final last major report on the dangers of it. So that's a big deal. Secondly, it remains, as you know, federal law remains in effect, and it makes it unlawful to distribute or possess with marijuana in any state, even though the state might legalize it. So within those states, we're going to develop plans that have a good sound basis to it, and we're not going to stop prosecuting marijuana in those states. But we just don't have the personnel to walk the streets like the local police.
What about the existing states? What about the existing states, like Colorado?
Yes, well, that's what I mean. Those states, we're going to, it still remains against federal law
okay.
to possess and distribute marijuana.
Got it.
And we're going to develop a fair plan for that.
Fantastic. We're looking forward to your speech today in Richmond. Attorney General Jeff Sessions, thank you so much. Don't go away.
The Laura Ingraham Show.